Wow, what a great morning, huh? Wonderful worship and great song. Praise God. Let me see. Pastor Brian? Yeah, Pastor Brian and Paul are over there. How about a nice welcome home for them? Praise God. Great to see them. And, of course, we all know that, just a few weeks ago, we lost our great brother in the Lord, Dr. Billy Graham. And how many of you, I think we remember asking this, but how many of you ever saw him, you listened to him, you saw him in person, you heard it, wow, look at that, that's amazing. The first time I did hear him, we were in Central Park in New York City, and we had all the teenagers there, and we heard him back in the early 90s, and it was amazing. There were hundreds, I think there were 500,000 people there in Central Park. So as you can imagine, we didn't get up too close to the stage, but had a great time. But the first time I thought I was going to hear Billy Graham live was in Springfield, Massachusetts. We lived in Lenox, Massachusetts. We took that short trip from Lenox to Springfield, and I thought, this is going to be awesome. It was at the Springfield Civic Center. When we got there, wouldn't you know it, the crowd was so great, we didn't even get in. And there were not just us, but there were hundreds of people outside, okay? Hundreds of people outside that could not get in. And I was there, and Bill Alexson was there. And I thought to myself, I've never heard another person do such an impressive Billy Graham imitation as Bill Alexson. So I said to the crowd, there was about 300-400 people, I said, folks, I says, I know you can't get in. None of us can get in. And I said to them, I said, how would you like me to bring Billy Graham out here? And they were like, yes, can you do that? And I said, yes. So Bill, come on up here. Just come on up for a second. Come on up. Because we all love Billy Graham. We all miss Billy Graham. Maybe we can hear from him again this morning.
You know, it's interesting. We actually, the crowd was there, and I preached the gospel.
I know. I think some people got saved.
Yeah. One time I was in a McDonald's on a basketball team. And said, hey, do Billy Graham here. They all turned around their lines. I just kept going. I gave the gospel, and people responded. But anyways, you say you want to hear Billy Graham. He's gone. Don't listen to him. I'm as live and as well as I've ever been because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You say, but Billy, how does that work with me? I have financial problems. I have marital problems. I have problems. Jesus is the problem solver. He doesn't want you to do something. He wants you to believe someone. His name is Jesus. He's the Savior. He died for your sins. If you simply put your trust in him, you have eternal life now. You put your trust in him today, and your problems will evaporate. Until next time, this is Billy Graham saying, may the Lord bless every one of you here tonight. Real good.
Good job. Wow. You're sitting right over there, Dr. Graham. That's right. Amazing, huh? And Billy Graham ministered to so many different presidents of the United States, didn't he? Right? Ronald Reagan, he ministered to him. And what do you think Ronald Reagan would say? Well, let me tell you something. Like Billy said, I may be dead, but wow, I've never been more alive in my life. He even shared the gospel with Bill Clinton. I know I don't deserve it. But I love Billy Graham. He helped me immensely. I had marital problems. He helped straighten them all out. Thank you, Billy. He even ministered to Richard Nixon. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. I am a crook. No, I'm just kidding. All right, we have to move along now. Now you're just going to have to listen to us, okay? So, Father, we ask you to bless our servant this morning. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And we all needed a slug of it this morning, Lord. So thank you so much. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for our worship and our praise to you this morning. Bless these thoughts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you could turn in your Bibles with me to John's Gospel, chapter 10. And in the series that Pastor Schaller is starting, Following God's Way, this morning, the emphasis is on listening to the voice of God, listening to God's voice, how important that is. And in John's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." Notice that. The sheep hear his voice. "And he calls them his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Getting to know the voice of God. I'm not sure that there's anything more important for us in our lives than to be able to hear God's voice. Pastor Carl Silver, he said that one of the greatest thrills for every Christian is the wonderful truth that God wants to speak to you and guide you personally on all of the major and minor decisions of your life. How true that is. God wants to be able to speak to us in such a way that it impacts every single decision that we'll make. Major decisions, big decisions, important decisions, and then the minor decisions. It's kind of, as the proverb says, we're trusting the Lord with all of our heart and fighting off that tendency, that instinct within all of us, not to lean upon our own understanding, but to acknowledge God in all our ways and so that he can direct our paths. And we know something because we all of us, well, not all of us, but some of us, we were once in a ministry called The Bible Speaks. When we moved here to Baltimore, we changed that name. We just kind of actually continued it. The Bible Speaks about greater grace, right? But I remember Pastor Stevens gathering everybody together and says, "Well, we're going to have a new name for it. What do we call it?" Of course, I was like, "How about the Bible Still Speaks?" And they're like, "No, that's too close to the old name. We've got to go something new." But doesn't the Bible speak? Doesn't the Word of God speak to our hearts? Doesn't God, through the Spirit, speak to us? No question. It's funny, if you said to people, maybe unsaved people, people that are not familiar with the voice of God, and you said to them, "Hey, listen, what do you call it when you talk to God?" You know what they would say? They say, "That's prayer." And then if you said, "Well, what is it that when God talks to you?" They would say, "That's schizophrenia. That's mental illness." Right? Isn't it true? We can talk to God, that's acceptable, that's prayer. Sure, everybody's familiar with that. But how about God speaking to you? That's crazy. But it's not. God speaks. The question is, does God still speak? We know he does. Again, the Word of God speaking to our hearts, penetrating our souls, like nothing else can do. Amen? The Word of God, quick and powerful in Hebrews 4:12, sharper than any surgeon's scalpel. We said the other day in the rap session in the cafe how, you know, a surgeon's scalpel can cut, and it can cut deep, and it can reach parts of us that we're not familiar with. But no surgeon's scalpel can reach that part of us that God reaches when he uses his word. Isn't it true? You know, a surgeon goes in and maybe he has to deal with something or fix something or take something out. Imagine if we could say to him before the surgery begins, "Hey, listen, while you're in there, Could you remove greed? Could you take out selfishness? Could you remove pride with your scalpel?" Yeah, he would just say, "Sorry, out of my pay grade. Can't do it. Not even close." But God has a way of penetrating our very being, the essence of who we are, and he can deal with those things because the Bible speaks. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible also says this, that the Spirit speaks, and he speaks expressly, precisely, accurately, in no uncertain terms. And then we even read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 24 and 25, that the blood of Jesus speaks, and speaks about better things than the blood of Abel. It speaks about grace. It speaks about mercy. It speaks about forgiveness. It speaks about returning to God if we've gone wayward. I mean, so clearly, everywhere in the scriptures, God is speaking. Here, Jesus said, my sheep follow me because they are familiar with my voice. They know my voice. They're not going to follow a stranger's voice. They're going to flee from them. They don't understand. They don't know the voice of the stranger. Thank God this morning we have a shepherd. Amen. It is, by the way, it is the best thing we have going for us, the fact that we have a shepherd. Because we know with a sheep-like mentality, we know what we're capable of doing, right? I mean, we could just, you know, and haven't we, spiritually speaking, haven't we done this from time to time? Just walked right up to the edge of the cliff and stepped right over it? Thinking to ourselves, I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I got this. We need a shepherd. Somebody once said that without a shepherd, you might have a 23rd psalm that sounds like this. I am my own shepherd. I am always in need. I stumble from shopping mall to shopping mall and from shrink to shrink, seeking relief but never finding it. I creep through the valley of the shadow of death and I fall apart. I fear everything from pesticides to power lines, and I'm starting to act like my mother. I go down to the weekly staff meetings and I'm surrounded by my enemies. Not here at the church, of course. I anoint my headache with extra strength Tylenol, and my Jack Daniels runneth over. Surely misery and misfortune will follow me, and I will live in self-doubt for the rest of my lonely life. That's what life would be like without a shepherd. Isn't it true? Well, how do you know about Jack Daniels? No, I'm just kidding. Listen, our lives, we know this, our lives are hectic, our lives are complex, and we need now more than ever to learn how to listen to the voice of our shepherd. It's almost as if we have to fine-tune our listening, amen, so that we can listen to God's voice, because aren't there so many other voices out there in this world of ours? So many other voices in our culture that cry out for our attention, that promise you this or promise you that. I mean, are you kidding me? We need one voice. We need his guidance. We need to acknowledge him in all of our ways. I love what Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 says. It reminds us, and it's a great thing to be reminded of, that it is not in man to direct his steps. That's what the prophet said. I know, Lord, it is not in us. We don't have the ability to direct the course of our own lives. And that is really amazing when you think about it, because in Psalm 139, the Bible says we are so fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, so complex are these bodies and the mind that God has given us to process all of this understanding and knowledge. I mean, when you think about the human, it's incredible. And yet, think about this. That when God made us, amazingly so, he omitted one thing on purpose, and that was the ability to direct our own lives. So much so that you could reach this conclusion that the most misdirected life there is a self-directed life. When people like, you know, their very essence, their lives are made up by, you know, kind of... I guess you could say led by Frank Sinatra's great song, I Did It My Way. You kind of want to look and say, well, you idiot, you did it your way. And where did it get you? And where did you arrive? I mean, you could get to, you do it your way and you'll arrive at the end of your life and you'll be empty.
and you'll be needy, and you'll be looking for something more, and you won't find fulfillment, and there won't be any soul satisfaction, and you'll just keep looking and keep wandering and have an aimlessness quality of life. God says, do it my way. Proverbs 20:24 says, but the steps or a man's steps need to be directed by the Lord. Amen. Our thoughts need to be directed by the Lord. Our steps need to be directed by the Lord. I mean, we could ask ourselves this question this morning. How does God speak today? Or why? Maybe why? Why does he speak to us today? Well, I think he wants fellowship with us. I think he wants to be with us as we make this journey through life. Just like when you read in the Garden of Eden. What do we read about? That God met them in the cool of the day and he walked with them. He fellowshiped with them. He enjoyed being in their presence. And in much the same way, God wants to be in our presence. He wants to be consulted regarding every decision that we make. He wants to be able to walk with us each step of the way, communing with us, fellowshipping with us. Somebody would say, why? Does he have to control everything? No, he loves us. Sometimes that's a little bit over the top for us to even fathom that God would love us so much that he would say, listen, can I join you today? Can I be with you? Can I walk with you? Can I help you to think clearly about life situations? Can I give you wisdom and discernment about all of the impressions that life brings at you? Will you let me do that? Because I love you that much. I mean, come on, that's what the scripture says. It says that his thoughts toward us number the sand on the seashore. That tells me that God can't stop thinking about you and longs to be in our presence, to fellowship with us. He wants to speak to us because also he knows we need to be encouraged. Amen. Oh, this world, you know what it does? This world just sucks the courage right out of our souls. God says, I want to pour courage into your souls. I mean, the world says, no, I'll take it out and I'll replace it with fear. And I'll replace it with anxiety and stress and all kinds of unhealthy emotions. I mean, that's the plan and the purpose of the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, always, you know, directing his disciples, if you will, his demonic influence to, again, just put fear in our souls and anxiety and trouble and worry and fretting and on it goes. God, on the other hand, says, you give me an opportunity like you do on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesdays and, for that matter, in our ministry, every day of the week, and I'll pour courage into your hearts. And he loves to do that because he knows that this world does just the opposite, does everything it can to remove that courage. You know, it's like the world exists for one purpose, to diss you, right? Like the young people say, oh, they dissed me. That's what the world wants to do. God says, I want to give you courage. The world says, I'm going to diss that and discourage you. God says, I have appointments for your life, great appointments. The world says, well, I'm going to turn those appointments into disappointments. God says, I have great grace, and I want you to understand it, and I want you to live in it and enjoy it. And the world says, I'd like to turn you into a disgrace. The world is always looking to diss us. God is always looking to encourage us, to strengthen us, to give us his divine perspective about life. Elijah knew about being encouraged by the Lord. He needed that courage. Remember after that great victory, 1 Kings chapter 18, you know, he faced off against the prophets of Baal, and it was 400-1. Talk about being outnumbered. And then, you know, God wrought a great victory that day through his prophet. And, you know, they squared off, and he said, let whoever's God is really God, let him answer by fire. They both set out sacrifices. The prophets of Baal set out their sacrifice, the bullock, and they put it on the altar. And then they called down fire from their God, and there was no answer. The sacrifice wasn't consumed, and this was the challenge. Elijah said, whosoever God is really God, let him consume the sacrifice by fire. So they cried out. They even jumped up on the altar. They started to cut themselves. And Elijah says, well, that's not working. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's taking a day off. He starts to mock them, and they're like, oh, no, he'll come through. And finally Elijah says, step aside. And then he says, and by the way, before I ask my God to consume the sacrifice, he says, drench it with water. Buckets and buckets of water. And it built a trench around it. There was so much water. And then in one moment, he called upon his God. And that fire came down, consumed the sacrifice, licked up every drop of water to the glory of God. And there's Elijah. And he's standing there saying, now we know whose God is really God. And he said, take those prophets, bring them down by the river, and take their lives. No more false message. I love that. But then the next day, Queen Jezebel finds out what Elijah did. And she said, I'm going to do the same thing that he did to my prophets before this day ends. And what do you think the prophet did? He said, well, yeah, well, I'll go see her. No, he says, I'm out of here. He runs for his life. He runs the equivalent of what some people believe was a marathon, 26 miles. Fell under a juniper tree, collapsed, and says, I want to die. It's like, is this the same man? Is this the same guy? Is this the same prophet? The answer is yes. He's been worn out. He's been discouraged. He's fearful. I love the way God treats him. Like he treats a little baby. He says, you need some food and you need a nap. And that's what he got. You get to see Elijah. Thank you. And the Lord said, by the way, even though you're sitting here moaning and saying, I'm the only one left to honor God. I'm the only one left to acknowledge. No. God said, I've got 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. And they're just waiting to come out of the woodwork. You just need to trust me, Elijah. And God spoke to him. You remember Elijah, he was looking for God. He said, God, are you going to speak, you know, through an earthquake? Are you going to speak through the fire? Are you going to shake the earth? And God said, no, I'm going to speak to you, and it's going to be in a still, small voice. And that's what the voice that he heard. God spoke to him. Just like God spoke to Moses when he led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt, and he took them to the brink of the Red Sea. Mountains on one side, mountains on the other side, a sea in front of them, and Pharaoh's army, hard-charging army, coming after them. The children of Israel cry out, thanks a lot, Moses, what a guy. You brought us into the desert because there weren't enough graves in Egypt. I mean, this was the children of Israel. They'd just been delivered miraculously. Saw all the plagues that God sent upon the Egyptians, but not them. Saw the miraculous wonders by the hand of God. Saw God lead them out. And then moments, it seems like later, they say, oh, what a waste of time this is. And now we're going to be fish bait. And you know what? Moses called out unto God. And guess what God did? He spoke to Moses. The voice of God said, tell the children of Israel to go forward. What a command. What a statement of faith. Next time you're faced with a Red Sea, don't be surprised if God speaks and says, go forward. Because did they or did they not walk on dry ground? I kept reading that in the scriptures and I thought, no, it had to be murky ground. It had to be muddy ground. It had to be, you know, like you step into it and you'd sink up to your knees. The Bible says it was dry ground. The voice of God led the children of Israel. And then how about David in the Old Testament? How many times do we read about David over and over and over again, inquiring of the Lord? You read that everywhere, both in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 19, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 23. And you keep reading it over and over again. Why did David have to keep inquiring of the Lord? Because maybe God's plan and purpose for David, just like with us, maybe it's altered. Maybe it changes from time to time. So we have to constantly be checking in with God. Constantly be asking him, Lord, is this the way? Is this the right step for me to take? Is this the right decision I need to make at this time in my life? He kept inquiring of the Lord. I love it. Especially when he got to Ziklag in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Remember that? The Amalekites came. They invaded the city. They burned the city to the ground. They took all the women and the children captive. And David and his men, which had been out to battle, they return and they see all of this. You talk about discouragement. The Bible says that all David's mighty men, these hardened warriors, were crying and weeping until they could weep no more. They said, what are we going to do? They even turned on David and said, well, you know what? We wouldn't be in this predicament if it weren't for him. And then you read of David. David, what are you doing? It says, and David inquired of the Lord. And I love it. He says, Lord, listen, just imagine. You got all these other voices. And by the way, that's exactly what the scripture says. 1 Samuel 30, verse 4, it says, those men lifted up their voices. Sometimes all you can hear are the voices of the critic, the voices that want to condemn you, the voices that tell you, well, look at the mess you've made because you didn't make a good choice or the right decision. But David inquired of the Lord, and he said, shall I pursue this troop, Lord? And I love it. He said, shall I overtake them? And God answered, he said, yes, pursue, go after them. You will surely overtake them. And then even God added this. He says, and without fail, you'll recover all of it. I like that. That's God speaking. And when God speaks, you know it's God because he says, I'm not only going to do what you ask, but I'm going to do exceeding and abundantly above all you can ask or think in Philippians 3:20. David did, and they did recover all. How does God speak today? We know in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Pastor Steve shared this in the 9 o'clock service this morning, that God, you know, in times past, he spoke by the prophets, he sent holy men to the nation of Israel. But God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And now more than ever in the church age, now more than ever, this time when you and I are alive, now more than ever, it's critical, it's crucial that we learn to listen to the Son of God speaking, because he is speaking. And Jesus said that he would speak to us. He said, I'm going to have to go away. He says, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he promised us that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. John chapter 16, verse 13, he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes. I like that. He says, not if he's going to come, but when he comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. And whatever, and I love this. He says, whatever he hears from me, he will speak and reveal to you. So it's just as if Jesus himself is speaking to us when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And we know the Spirit speaks to us. Many of us are in this ministry because God said to us, that's the church I want you to go to. Many of us went to Bible college because the Lord spoke to us and said, I want you to go to Bible college. Courtney is here from upstate New York. She just arrived a few days ago. She's made her decision to come to Bible college. She goes back to New York State today, and then she'll be back in about 2 weeks to go to Bible college because the Spirit has spoken to her. God speaks. John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, he's going to teach you all things. He's going to bring back to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Wow. That means we have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Someone said, well, how is it that the Holy Spirit leads us, speaks to us, guides us? Well, a few quick thoughts regarding the Holy Spirit's leading. I would say, number one, his leading can only be for those who are already committed to do as he would tell them to do. In other words, if you've already made your mind up about what you want to do, and then the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and it seems to contradict what you want to do, and you have not committed yourself to do as the Holy Spirit would tell you to do, well, it's not going to end up very well. You're going to end up confused. You're going to end up thinking to yourself, well, I acknowledge the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We come before the Spirit of God and we say, listen, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I know that I could, you know, direct the course of my own life. But ever since I have, I reached the same goal and objective, and that is a train wreck. Okay, I know what I'm capable of doing. I'm capable of wrapping myself, you know, around the proverbial, phone line or a telephone pole. That's what I do, Lord. I need your guidance. And if we commit ourselves beforehand to be led by the Spirit, then the Spirit will speak and we will say, Lord, speak, I'm listening. So the Spirit, again, can only guide those who are already committed to do as he would choose. Someone put it this way, that God is able to speak loud enough so that a willing soul can hear him. I believe that. It's the truth. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will always lead according to the scriptures. He's not going to contradict the word of God. And we should approach the scriptures and the leading of the Spirit with some sense of prayerful expectation. You know, you hear people say all the time, well, not all the time, but some people say, listen, I'm going to get married, and I'm going to marry this person. And then you might say, really? Now, that this person you're going to marry, they're saved, right? Well, no. No, 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 but I believe that once they marry me, they will want to be saved. Oh, no, 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 they're not saved, but I'm just trusting God. They're even willing to come to church. Okay, but don't you think that that is a bit of a contradiction to what the scriptures teach? Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Yes, I know it contradicts the scripture, but I am asking God for a special exemption. Be careful. Be careful. God's going to lead you. He's not going to contradict his word. You say, well, we're getting married, but we're just having a little premarital sex together. Well, that contradicts the word of God. Abstain from fornication. Don't, you know, stay clear of it until it's in the wonderful context of marriage. You say, yeah, but it's not that big deal. We're getting married anyhow. Listen, don't contradict the word of God. And don't somehow justify it by saying, well, the Spirit's leading us. The last thing about the leading of the Spirit, he never does it by a set of rules. He never uses a set of rules, which is to say that no two children of God will be led by the Spirit exactly the same way. I think if that were the case, all we'd have to do is look at each other. Like, I'll just do what he does, or I'll do what she does. They're being led by the Spirit, so let me do it. The Spirit's not going to lead any two of God's children exactly the same way. And the reason why he doesn't do that is because God, through the Spirit, wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want a relationship with you through someone else. He wants that relationship with you. And he wants to speak to you. And he's able to speak to you and me. And we need to hear his voice. And I think that to hear God's voice this way, well, it's going to require, I think, immersing ourselves in the scriptures and familiarizing ourselves with the words of God. And then, as it says in Hebrews 5:14, you know what's going to happen? We're going to have our senses exercised to be able to discern between good and evil. That's what's going to happen. The word of God gives you that capacity to start to exercise your spiritual senses. You say, well, I've never exercised my spiritual senses. Well, try it. It's good. It's healthy. You'll have a discerning spirit. You'll be able to, you know, listen to the word of God more carefully, more specifically. It's just like going to a health club. You know, some people, they say, oh, I've never been. I don't think I want to. Well, try it because you might like it, right? And then ask people that, you know, that are health conscious like that. They say, yes, I enjoy the health club. It's good. I didn't like it at first. I went once and I said, I will never go again. But now it's like the word of God. You get into the scriptures and now you develop this habit within your soul that says, I long for the word of God. I need the words of God. It's kind of like worshiping this morning. Didn't you sense during our worship service that you needed to worship God like that? I mean, worshiping God like we worshiped him this morning gives us this wonderful opportunity to lift our eyes off ourselves and to see the glory of God, the power of God, the strength of God, the grace of God. And don't we need that? I mean, we worship God because he's worthy and he deserves it, but we also worship God because we need to. It benefits and blesses us in the greatest way. Learn to listen to the voice of God. Remember the Old Testament story of Samuel when God called him? He was just a boy. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 through 10, God called him at night. He was sleeping, and the Lord called. And Samuel, he wakes up, and then he goes into the home. He was in the home of Eli, the priest. He went into Eli's room, and he said, you called me? Eli said, he's a real sensitive guy. He goes, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. So he sends him back to sleep. He goes back to bed. God calls him. Samuel, Samuel. He gets up again and says, Eli, you called me? He says, you've already woken me up twice, okay? Now this has got to end. Go back to sleep. I did not call you. So he goes back to sleep. And then God, Samuel, Samuel. He goes back into Eli. You, and he goes, listen, it's God. Will you let me get some sleep? No, he didn't say that to him. He said, it's the Lord. And then he said, and the next time God calls, answer him. He's speaking. So again, he goes, and the Lord calls. Samuel, Samuel. And you know what he said? Same thing we should say. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. There's a reason why God gave you eyelids so you could sleep. He didn't give us no ear lids. He wants our ears to be opened. While we're awake, while we're sleeping, keep your ears open. You never know when God is going to speak. The Spirit speaking to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Each church, you remember what the address of the Spirit was to each of the seven churches? In each case, the repeated phrase at the end, after the Spirit of Christ spoke to those churches, he said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Keep those ears open. And let's learn to live our lives free from being distracted. You know, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 13, it was a word that God spoke. And Jeremiah said to the children of Israel through the Lord, he said, I spoke to you, but you did not listen. I called, but you did not answer. I read a true story about a brother who he was going to board a plane. He was at the airport, and as he got to the counter, the Spirit of God said, I don't want you on that plane. It's a true story. And he fought it initially. He said, no, I've got to catch a flight. I have an important meeting in this next city that I'm supposed to arrive at. The Spirit of God spoke and said, I do not want you to get on that flight. And against all human reasoning and rationale, he canceled that flight and sat at the airport and waited till the Spirit of God spoke to him. That plane went down. Everyone perished. They found him because his name was on the manifest. They said to him, you were supposed to be on that flight. Why? You were at the airport. Why didn't you get on that flight? He says, because God told me not to. And immediately the media said, oh, I suppose that only God spoke to you, but he didn't speak to anyone else. He said, I can't answer for them. He says, maybe he did, but they didn't listen. I don't know. I just know that God spoke to me. And I listened. You think of the clamoring voices in our culture, of all the selfish desires, the voices of a lack of submission, pride, independence, all of these voices and so many more try to keep us from being receptive to the quiet voice of God. Let's leave service this morning and determine in our hearts by the grace of God not to grieve the Spirit, not to quench the Spirit, not to resist the Spirit, but to stay teachable, to stay entreatable, to say like Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And in a world with so many voices, don't we have to retreat sometimes to a quiet place so the Spirit can speak? When we experience failure in our lives, let's hear the voice of God say, don't worry about it. The righteous fall seven times in a day, but they rise up again because of the grace of God in Proverbs 24:16. When great failure strikes, I don't mean some simple, false. I'm talking about great failure, as what the case that happened to Joshua when they went to Ai during the conquest of the land, and Joshua is leading the people. And of course, there was a great victory at Jericho, and then they moved on to the little town of Ai. And they thought to themselves, well, you know what, maybe we don't need so many men. Maybe we don't need to be as prepared because look at what we did at Jericho. Fact of the matter is they didn't do anything at Jericho. God gave them that city because they were dependent upon God. But maybe now not so dependent. And they experienced tremendous defeat. And after that great defeat, Joshua fell on his face, said, oh, Lord, what have we done? This is such a mess. And I love what God said to him. The voice of God spoke. And I love what he said. He said, Joshua, get up, get off your face. There's work to be done. I love that. Next time you have great failure, don't be surprised if the voice of God says, get up. Get off your face. We can still get this right. When our hearts condemn us, and we don't even want to get out of bed, let alone come to church, let's hear the voice of God speak to us in that condemnation and say, listen, my mercy exists to rejoice against your judgment. In James chapter 2, verse 13. When we're so discouraged that we don't even want to take another step, let's hear the voice of God say, listen, I'm here to pick you up. I'm here to carry you. I know you're faint, but I give strength to the faint. I know you're weary, but I'm going to take you and I'm going to place you on eagle's wings. And as you wait upon me, your strength is going to be renewed and you're going to fly. You're not going to crawl. You're going to fly. And I've got great plans for your life. Trust me. Let us develop that sensitivity that just keeps listening to the voice of God. We need his voice now in these hours of human history in which we're living, now more than ever before. Let us, you know, have as our mantra the same as little Samuel had. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Amen. Would you pray with me? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? If there's anyone here this morning, well, maybe the Lord is speaking to you and you've never trusted Jesus Christ in a personal way, then maybe the Lord is speaking to you. Maybe he brought you here this morning so that you could hear his voice, not my voice, not the voice of a person, not the voice of a man, but the voice of the Spirit, the voice of the shepherd. And that voice would say to you, come to me. If you're weary, heavy laden, I have rest for your soul. Come to me if you've been carrying a burden of your guilt, your shame, your sin, and the weight of it is too much. Come to me. I'll take it away. I'll give you peace. I'll give you forgiveness. I'll give you what your heart desires. Come as you are and just say, Jesus, save me. Come into my heart, cleanse me, and live. I want a new beginning. I want a new life. I want to be born again. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you said that prayer, if you're trusting Christ in a personal way, today, for the first time, just slip your hand up so we can pray for you. Is there anyone in the audience this morning? Put your hand up and put it right back down. The ushers are going to give you a gift. That's all we want to ask you to do, is to put your hand up so you can receive that gift for anyone. Put it up, put it right back down. Father, thank you. Thank you for being so faithful to speak to our hearts. And in many cases, even when we're so unfaithful, still you speak. You're so good to speak to us, even when we are not very good. You still speak. And thank you, Lord. And may we carry your message and proclaim it. You said in the scriptures, O earth, 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 hear the voice of the Lord. Help us to carry your message of love, of grace, of forgiveness, to a world that needs it. Even though they don't know it, we know how much they need it. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.